Hi, Mort. This is Jim.
Hello, Jim. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm on the Lone Ranger track. My wife moved out 3 months ago. We talk on the phone. We were okay. But I'm not quite sure what my first move is on this Lone Ranger track. I'm not quite sure, where should I really start? I understand date night, but we can't do that. I was thinking of just
Okay, so I
talking
have
to
to interrupt you there because
you. Okay.
that could be bad education for everybody listening. When you say you can't do that, I'm 99% sure that's not true. You might not be able to do date night on Saturday night with dinner and popcorn and holding hands on the boardwalk. Maybe she won't agree to that, but be careful not to dismiss what I'm teaching because you can't apply it in exactly the way I'm teaching it. You have to be able to tune into the principle that I'm teaching and be able to tweak what I'm teaching so that it applies to your situation, and you must apply it at some minimal level. So what's the point of date night? I mean, like at the core and the most basic level, what am I really saying? It's rhetorical. I'll answer the question, Jim.
I got you.
What I'm saying is that in order to reconcile your marriage, you need to create time together. Not only to reconcile, but to have a healthy marriage long term, there needs to be time, not a complicated concept. That's basically what I'm saying. Now, everybody in the program, regardless of your circumstances, can find some way to create time with their spouse. Even if it means that you're looking outside the window, waiting for your wife to drop off your son, and you're going to run out and meet them in the driveway and spend just a couple of minutes talking about something that you had planned to talk to her about because you knew she would be dropping them off shortly. Okay, that's far from the ideal date night that hopefully you'll be having a year from now, but given her obstinance, maybe that's where you're at. And maybe that's the first step that you have to take, or at least the first step. I don't mean the first step in the way you were asking it. I mean the first step in applying that principle. This is, don't worry, Jim, I'm going to come back to you. I'm on a bit of a tangent here, but it's an important one that relates to your introduction. This is a very, very important point. I know from speaking to so many of you over the years that there's a big tendency on the part of the people in the Lone Ranger track to dismiss some or even many of the things being taught and write them off as if I can't do that. And while it might be true that you can't do, as Jim is saying, date night in the literal way that I express it, I can tell you that people that go through the program in that way, with that attitude, with that approach, they fail. Instead, the attitude you want to take is, the approach you want to take is, don't allow yourself to say, I can't do it. Instead, force yourself to ask, how can I do it? I might not be able to employ this in exactly the way Mort is discussing, but what's the point? What's he trying to get at? And how can I, in some small way, employ this principle or practice? Where can I start? It's like trying to crow a door open. You're not going to be able to just open it up. You can't just turn the handle and open it. You can't even just punch it once with your shoulder and the whole thing's going to fall down. You've got to wiggle the thing in there a little bit and bend it back a little bit, and you have to keep moving it, and you've got to find a little way to begin to make movement. How do you jump 10 feet high? 1 inch at a time. It's such an important concept because I know from speaking to so many of you that you're in so much pain and there's so much frustration and you're so desperate to just get a clean start and get past this nightmare that you just wish there was one thing you could do that would accomplish that. That's why in the program, I start out in the first teleconference talking about the law of the harvest. Slow is fast and fast is slow because I've got to get you to see right away that that is not possible. It is absolutely not possible. It never has happened. It never will happen. Give it up. Stop looking. The people that are successful are the people that take the small steps that are in front of them, and the next day, more small steps, and the next day, more small steps. And they just are insistent and dogged about moving the needle a little bit day by day. And eventually, after a few months, you look back and you say, oh, wow, the needle's actually moved quite a bit. But let me get back to your question. Your question is, what should you do next? I just want to challenge the question a little bit. I'm not sure you should be looking at it that way. There's no one thing you should be doing next. It's a similar point to the one I was making just a few moments ago. Mm-hmm. There's no one thing you should be doing next. There's no one thing that you should be doing that's going to create this breakthrough in your situation. The change in your situation will come because, in a very comprehensive way, you're doing many things differently that are slowly but surely moving the needle and building goodwill between you and your wife. So you said you're on phase 5. You're pretty far along. You should have a list of 100 things that you could do tomorrow. You mentioned one of them. You mentioned two of them. You could drive down there and bring her a cup of coffee and see her. You could call her up and share with her a little story. You could call her up and ask her opinion about something. You could send her something that expresses an interest in her interests. You could send her a thoughtful gift. You could express appreciation for some quality she has or something that she previously did. I could go on and on and on and on, right? I mean, in other words, everything that you have thus far covered in the program, you should be careful not to, if somebody once said to me, Mort, I've been through your program 5 times. Okay, great, but my question is, how many times has the program been through you? This is not school. It really makes no difference whether or not you learn it. Mm-hmm. What's going to make a difference is if you do it. Rather than going through 5 phases, I'd rather you just slow down, go through 1 phase, but begin to really do what it is that you're learning. And make a habit out of those things. I mean, I think I hope by now in the program you've realized, you've noticed, I'm not into one-time things. Mm-hmm. Because there is no one-time thing that really is going to make a difference. What really changes people's lives and what changes marriages is the implementation of new habits that become part of the new character of the marriage. The sooner you begin to implement those habits, the better off you'll be. And you really need to see them as really new habits, a matter of lifestyle. I'm not doing this because I'm trying to save my marriage. I'm doing this because I'm becoming a new husband, and this is going to be a quality in my new marriage. As I like to say, don't do anything you're not willing to do for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good guiding principle as you go through this time. Once again, don't do anything you're not willing to do for the rest of your life. Because the worst thing you can do in this situation is to start to do something and then stop to do it. Because you're basically raising your hand and telling your spouse, you're just looking for what will work. You're really just being manipulative, playing her like a chess game. And it's very unattractive. And they feel it. It's a huge turnoff. Instead, if you're going to do something, make a commitment to it. And do it in a way that's sustainable. Like sometimes people will say to me, Mort, I love the chapter and the whole section on giving gifts, and not just giving gifts that, like, you know, just because she wanted it, but something really thoughtful, something really creative, something really demonstrates. And so, you know, guess what I did? You know, it cost $15,000 and took me, you know, 3 months, you know. But my response to that is, that's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. And now, maybe, you know, that's the kind of thing he's going to do, you know, once every 5 years. And in addition to that, he's also going to give to his wife in ways that are sustainable on a weekly basis. Okay, fine, if that's the case. But more often than not, when people are entering the program in a state of desperation, that kind of effort that I just described is not coming along with a sustainable pattern of behavior, but it's really an effort to do one Herculean act that's going to make all of this go away. And so, anyway, just the point that I just made there, which is an important one, which is whatever you're doing, make sure it's sustainable. Do it in a way that is sustainable. You know, the flowers are another big one. You know, I bought my wife 3 dozen flowers. Well, first of all, I'm not a big fan of flowers because, you know, sort of a boilerplate gift or flowers is not something that really demonstrates that you know somebody and understand somebody. It's actually flowers you could get for any woman in the whole world. The idea is to get something that is, anyway, my point was going to be that I bought my wife 3 dozen flowers, you know, I really blew her away. Yeah, okay, I mean, but is that sustainable? Are you going to buy your wife 3 dozen flowers every single week? Now, maybe he is, you know, if he is, great. No, great, then it's sustainable and you should do it. But if it's not sustainable, don't waste your time.
Okay.
Was that helpful? I don't even know if I ever let you get to your question.
No, that was helpful. It's this has nothing to do with infidelity. We've been completely honest with each other, and it's just what like every other marriage that I've been reading about and you've been talking about. It's just not really connecting. And after 25
right.
years, the kids are out.
Right.
And I think she still wants to keep the marriage together. She asked for a divorce in January, but nothing had been filed. We talked the other night, and she just says, you know, we have to take baby steps. So,
okay.
Yeah, and I understand that. So I think she'll come along. It's just like I'm thinking, okay, now, you know, what do I do next? I think probably I'll just call her and, with this holiday weekend coming up, and see, hey, you know what, you want me to come and spend, maybe, would you like me to come and spend the day, or I'd like to come and spend the day.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'd like to come and spend the day with you and play tennis or something.
Sure, there you go. Very nice. Go have a nice day. Yep.
So that's
okay.
I guess I was overthinking things, you know.
I think so, yeah, you know, yeah. By asking what do I do next, I think maybe you're right, that, you know, the embedded in that question is the idea that, like, there is some right thing to do next. And I don't think that's the case. There's 100 things you could do next. Just do one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And then do another and another and another. And you'll be on the right track. And especially if the problem in your marriage has been a lack of connection, you'll get on the right track. Those things will create this connection, and you'll experience a healing and be back together. Okay.